Their expressed goal, my opinion, is to asset strip the general citizenry. And the controlled demolition tool of choice is, in fact, leverage and debt. Because if you spike that interest rate, you can force people out of the assets. It's a perfect tool. And that is controlled demolition of all assets. And there will be someone waiting there with a bottomless checkbook to buy it all up at the bottom of the market. And then you'll be offered a tenancy agreement in your own home. That's a fear I have. I hope to be proven wrong. But we've got to play the game for the most vicious possible attack.
This is Kaiser Johnson with Liberty and Finance, and this is the Miles Franklin Weekly Special for February 21st through February 28th, 2023, while supplies last. This week we feature 2022 silver maples at $3.40 over spot. Silver maples were the first silver sovereign coins to be minted at 4/9 fine purity and remain one of the most in-demand and recognized coins today. They come 25 to a tube, 500 to a box, and are available at the lowest premium we've seen in more than a year, at just $3.40 over spot. Canadian maples are also IRA eligible, and if you'd like to learn more about a precious metals IRA, call us and we'll be happy to help you in that process. To order this special or any of the many other options we have available, call us at 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237. We're available after hours and on weekends, and we look forward to speaking with you.
Hey everyone, this is Elijah K. Johnson with Liberty and Finance. And back with us today is our good friend Francis Hunt from The Market Sniper. Francis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Delighted to be back with you again, Elijah.
Well, it's great to have you. And we wanted to get an update on precious metals because we've seen a bit of a pullback here. And one of the things that we talked about last time is the gold-silver ratio. And that can be an indicator of whether we're going to see a rally or a further pullback going forward. One positive aspect we're seeing right now is actually a falling of the gold-silver ratio, so silver outperforming a bit, which can be bullish for precious metals. If you could share with our viewers a bit about this.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, last time we spoke, we said we're a little bit peaky and that there's going to be a potential for a little bit of pullback on the gold-silver ratio. We spoke of it was a little bit of an interesting ascent in the gold-to-silver ratio because it wasn't a bearish set of circumstances. Actually, you just had gold overperforming. Silver was holding its own for a while. Eventually, it topped out sub the 25, 24 and a halves, and then has subsequently come back. But what you actually had was a mildly bullish market and particularly bullish gold. So we actually had an inverse relationship with what you'd normally associate with the gold-silver ratio, in that it was going up, but actually it was a pretty decent precious metals market. And in fact, gold made a technical high, which we'll show you in a minute when we talk just about the gold price. The ratios has since had a little bit of a pullback, but it's also the last 2 days it's bouncing back up. So we're not calling the turn yet, but it is getting more pushback more recently. And sadly, that inverse relationship is continuing. Normally, you associate the coming down of the gold-silver ratio as being correlated to bullishness, just silver outperforming gold. But in the same way that we had it going up and it was reasonably bullish, we could have it down and it can still be reasonably bearish initially. I also mentioned, I don't want to get into the macro, but you'll bring me in if you want to hear more about it later. But we're probably finding the general retail, so just as a general comment, consumers getting pretty hard hit because the interest rates are up, banks are withdrawing lending, and delinquencies are going up as well. And housing values are coming down in a lot of places. You've got a little bit of subprime car action. You've got even Tesla doing discounts now, et cetera, et cetera. So there is certainly a cooling effect on the retail consumer. But a lot of that gold felt like it was being driven by the central banks. We saw the stats coming in. So we were part of it, but we weren't necessarily the big tonnage of it. So if I share screen with you, we can have a check in on that gold silver ratio. And as I mentioned, it did get a little bit of a pushback on its ascent recently. So let's have a look and see how that goes. You'll see that this was the area that I was highlighting, that was a little bit of a riposte to the general climb on the gold-silver ratio. It was going up. It's been going up during this time, and a lot of that's been driven out of the central bank buying on gold. So gold was outperforming, and silver wasn't having a bad time until the last month, really. Then it started to soften. Now we hit 86 up top here on the gold-silver ratio, which is starting to get fairly strong again, and it had three consecutive days down. So that was part of gold actually coming off quite a bit, and silver less so, because it had already released some of its pressure that it had had. But we've seen the last 2 days it's bouncing again. So you tend to get a little bit more chop when you're slowing down. We had a lot of wicks. I should just expand this a little bit because it might be looking through the keyhole here so that everybody can get a proper view. So essentially we're looking at this piece of priced action here. And in that instances, we were seeing the selling wicks coming in here. So when you get a long series of candles, that's also known as a shooting star. And this was very definitely a shooting star. It also had a red body. So it's a small body with a long, tall wick at a localized high that the traditional technical analytical traders will take a short on the low takeout sometimes. I don't suggest doing that. That's very tactical. You need more reasons for the trade or the investment, but that would have paid for two more days. But now we are just getting a drift back up. But the difference is the certainty of the upside is being challenged now. And as a result, the question is, do we top out at some point here? It's possible. It is possible that we go higher still, but that will then be probably somewhat bearish. So are we bearish or bullish right now generally? Let's take a look at the gold on its own. If we pivot to the gold price, Elijah, what we've seen is that technically we were at a localized high points there. We tested it a couple of times, a weak second test there. And that's why we were warning you could get a pullback now on gold. We've crossed the channel again. You can also see those low points. I'll just first, when you were breaking above it, this was just post the events of March 2020. And now we've been there and there. So this is quite a reasonably well-tested. You actually have three separate wicks here that have just dipped through. It's a well-tested channel. And channels that have a slight retracing element to them are actually implying long-term on the macro, and we're already on quite a tall time frame, we're on the weekly here, more upside continuation to come, which is why I continue to reiterate, macro is good, but short-term, you're probably going to look at a pullback. My ideal would be that we get to the midpoint. It would be a bit hurtful and painful for the very patient bullion investors to see a revisit all the way down to this. If we got a very strong demand-destroying event, that's possible. As I was mentioning to you, if for example, retail consumers really, really suffering, the retail stock markets, you know, even the likes of Amazon have come off quite a lot. Everything that relies on the man in the street who's battling with the interest rates, reduced access to credit, higher payments and installments, etc. That could take some of the zing out of the retail support. But gold was mainly, it felt like a central bank phenomenon, although there was a lot of retail participation too. I would love to know what the splits would have been. So that's why we're down, in my opinion, and why I think we can go a little lower. What would be very destructive and would potentially, at what point do we invalidate this line of thinking if we fall out of the channel? In other words, if we go through that gray line over here that's joining all these circles, that means we're no longer in a continuation structure. We failed to hold it. And I think that would be quite extreme. But if we had a big demand-destroying event, it's possible. In other words, everybody dashing for liquidity, liquidating, you know, small holdings of gold on account of damage in other areas, or need to find extra funding because of inflation, etc. But dramatic, I'm not sure we do that. I would like to see us bounce. And then if we can wind up and then set something up, because I think what typically happens when you break a continuation pattern, Elijah, is that for it to have the real momentum to put that next strong leg up, and this was the, you know, the original bull one, we've got to go with green for that, when you ran up here, to get that next really single-minded strong market, even though, as I say, you still have some degree of pullbacks, inside of that. It's very dominantly up. You usually need some form of technical coiling up that is occurring. So a little bit of chop, a little bit of a squeeze in the volatility. So were we to get a structure like I've just indicated in the green lines there, I'll double them up in case it's not shown clearly. Something like that would be very, very positive and would be a potential forerunner for legging it back up to the upside. And that, I would imagine, is going to be this time accompanied with silver, because the central bank buying is invariably gold. And that's why we saw the gold-silver ratio going up, but it was actually a decent bullion market, but it was mainly gold benefiting. And now we're seeing it going down. That's mainly a little bit of more fizz in the gold price easing back and a little bit less in the silver price. There's not too much froth in the silver price. So we've got this bizarre set of circumstances where the direction of the ratio is having a slightly inverse relationship. But as you deepen into that, that's when it pivots back to type. And that's what we're all looking for.
Essentially, it sounds like the most likely scenario is possibly a little bit pullback from here, but bullish longer term in your view.
Yes, the line we're looking for to see break is that red one, because that ends a series of marginally lower highs. And with the one we don't want to see broken is the gray one, which, as I say, I'll just double it up with the overlay jaw so everyone's clear, but it's that one in the pink. So as long as we're staying in the continuation structure, we're kind of treading water. It's not yet a great market. Range traders, it's quite a substantial range, by the way. So people who are on shorter time frames could be buyers at these levels and visits. But often by the time you recognize them, they cease to hold. And they could be, you know, they could lock in profits when you get back to the high. So for that's more a technical trade. As an investment community who's waiting for when they see a real appreciation in their product, we want to see this level taken out. And as I suggest, something like that bouncing near our splitter and having another reasonable run up and then over here. And we've got another geopolitical event we're expecting. We've seen quite a bit of belligerence. There was Putin's speech. There was obviously Biden visiting Ukraine. It's quite a bit of belligerence. I'm not getting the feeling that there's peace on the cards. There's no sincere intent. We suspect that the Minsk agreement was not done in good of faith. And I put that on the Western axis more than on the Russian axis. But, you know, that's just my assessment. So I think we see a further escalation before we see a peace. Now, that could push oil, and that could also see a flight to potentially gold. I don't know quite. There could be a set of circumstances where it takes value from gold. But the likes of Russia and China are big hoarders. I could see safety being gold more. Yes, you could also get some firming of the dollar, especially if it looks like it's contagion. This, you know, Poland gets involved with Belarus, for example, and that triggers Russian intervention maybe in terms of Poland. That would be a very dangerous set of circumstances. It could be a bit tricky to guess which way we go, because that could also lead a run in the dollar and a chase into treasuries on the fear that, you know, Europe will burn. So that's a little bit of a wild card. And those kind of circumstances could be things that could have us testing the lower range. But it could also have exactly the opposite effect. So what is the Pavlovian response? Will it be treasuries? Will it be dollar? Or will it be gold? And at some point, there'll be a flippening, I think.
I guess then a flip to gold, it sounds like. I mean, if that is the, you know, the sound money, the real money out there, and eventually it seems like people have to rush towards that because they realize everything else has counterparty risk, everything else is in the system. Can you remind our viewers maybe the long term? I know, you know, looking at the charts is very helpful for the short term, but also just the mindset that maybe people should have, your perspective on that long term, if you want to give your perspective on that.
In terms of the question of frame of reference and mentality for the long term, in my worldview, it is not a time to be highly digital anything. The overall bond market, in fact, if you will allow me, I will go to the chart and show you two key things. And this point is often lost. We've had a structural major turning as a result of the events of March 2020. And this is no better illustrated than the combination of debt markets, to which I will use the TLT as a well-established ETF of long bond holding. And I will highlight that when you go to the really big time frames, when in doubt, use the really big time frames generally. In fact, let's go 10-year yield. And I'm going to leave that on the log scale. You will see that we have officially, in my opinion, ended what was a long-term descent in yields, which was a bull market period for bonds. All of this, in essence, was a bull market. And then you had a final capitulation. So the events of March 2020 were the turning point, in my opinion, for debt. And everything that you deal in currency-wise is a sense borrowed into existence. In other words, there's an associated liability with that. And my overall opinion is, despite the fact that we've had pullbacks along the way, you've had a couple of instances, that debt is no longer an asset of choice. You add the crisis that the UK had with their pensions. So debt markets turned out of a bull market into what I consider to be a secular bear, and we could have extreme rates. I was talking with Mark Farber, Dr. Doom and Gloom report, and he said quite openly, you know, you could see interest rates higher than the Volcker period in due course. Don't forget, if we have an escalation in war, it's highly inflationary, even though the consumer isn't driving that. If you bifurcate your supply chain, it's highly inflationary. So he's not saying it is happening, but people need to stretch what's possible in their minds, because for us, that's a high water mark that has stood for all time. So the bond market turned, in my personal opinion, as a result of that. And then simultaneously, going back to our gold-silver ratio, the gold-silver ratio hit an all-time high point in terms of valuation on a similar time frame. So despite us getting a little bit of a rally, we'd never hit 128 before. I've taken the gold futures, I've divided it by the silver futures, and that coincided with March 2020. So simultaneous to debt no longer being emphasized as the core key asset. In other words, macro trends are going to go against debt, and macro trends after a financialization of everything world are now going to go for metals. You are on the right side of the macro wave. Yes, you might be missing a few ripples. There might be a stock that's going up right now while your gold is pulling back, et cetera, et cetera. The best surfers are the ones that are sitting and saying no to a lot of waves and then catch the ride of their life and win the tournament on that. It's not a basis of activity. It's the best ride that the highest score. And you only get three or four in these surfing contests. And in the same way, the best investors make sure they are in the biggest and best wave. And this is a macro wave. So March 2020 was the turning of the debt market. That doesn't mean it can't get some rallies. You know, we get the demand destroying event, we get the consumer squeeze, there will be some movement into treasuries. Never again will it be treated like it was during the 40-year period we've just had. So we've started a new 40-year period as a result of that. The other point that went out is that most people don't know, but the Federal Reserve provided well in excess of $20 trillion to a handful of usually primary dealer and owner banks during the events of March 2020. Everyone called it a bank bailout in subprime. No one is referring to it as a bank bailout in 2020. It was all, we all got sold the story of the moment. But in actual fact, more money was given to banks. And that's, and finding those articles, there was a Zero Hedge article, one or two, and seeing, you know, Credit Suisse, $3.69 trillion, a single bank was given almost $4 trillion from the Fed. That's not even an American institution. So that is a proliferation of fiat again, and it absolutely pays you, if you're looking me in the eyes, to be holding something physical that cannot be paid, that cannot be printed and will hold and has unique properties, real scarcity, can't be pulled out annually more than a small percentage, one in and around 1.1% a year, has real uniqueness of use in both precious metals, gold, silver, and of course the platinum groups. As a result, you are on the right side of the big story. Don't get lost for the ripple and the churn in between the true big waves. That would be my message.
I think that's so key of looking at the big picture there and realizing that, you know, when you have precious metals, you have something outside of the system. I did want to ask you more specifically about what you mentioned about higher rates possibly how they could go higher than when in the Volcker era. Your perspective on that, I guess, because it seems like there are so many effects that could have on the general economy. You have the housing market could probably take a crash from there further than it's crashing right now. We also see, you know, the U.S. being just loaded up with debt. How is the U.S. going to pay the interest rates at that when they're that high? So I guess starting with that, what is your perspective? Because I think the biggest argument out there of why the Fed can't raise interest rates, you know, to 20% or so, is because the debt obligations are too much for the U.S.
Yeah, the system fails. Yeah, and I largely agree with that. What I've noticed is that there's a tendency to cheat rather creatively in many ways, and who knows what ruse they will pull that will actually potentially allow them. I mean, simultaneously in some economies, we're essentially having rates going up, yet there's quantitative easing and support on debt markets going on. And that's what I call the sort of petrol and fire extinguisher approach to the fire that is inflation. On one end, you're pouring fuel, and on the other end, you're seen to be putting out the fire. And all it is doing is the fire is walking towards the petrol and away from the fire extinguisher. So we've got these, and we predicted this 5-6 years ago, that people would simultaneously do two diametrically opposed things. Most people thought that's insane. What would be the point? You're either stimulating or you're contracting. Why would you do that? So that we could have all sorts of laws, commitments that could see them have certain, they might even segment the debt market. I don't know. It's a thought exercise that Mark Farber was actually doing there. You're saying it's, you know, it could be done. They can cheat. They can write laws. We're seeing crazy laws being written up and enacted, corporates, you know, wokeism. So who knows? So, but that doesn't mean mathematically it would be able to exist for too long going up. But you've already seen a very belligerent Fed. And the Fed seems to be overcompensating for being excessively late to the inflation that everyone else saw except them, and then their transitory belligerence. And so it's now a case of the only way to win back credibility, the perception is to over tighten and be super aggressive and show they're going to get this thing back under control. So that points almost certainly actually to a major deflationary thing, which is contrary to Mark Farmer's scenario. And I'm not saying it was his primary scenario of excessively high rates, but that could be part of a next wave potentially. So you could have a real demand that in short, the Fed, by being late to the inflation and then over tightening, are introducing more volatility because they created the original inflation. They then ignored it. They then charged in and gave us the sharpest ascent in rates that we've had. Look at any of the other Fed fund rate charts, and you've gone up far faster, far quicker. So a lot of the lagging effects you haven't even felt yet fully are still going to be dripping through, and they're going to continue tightening until something breaks, is the feeling. And then we have another deflation spell where we dip, and in that environment, gold and silver could be hit. But then the next thing they do, who knows? It could be, you know, it could be the introduction of UBI. It could be old money. The old money could be that which faces the super high interest rates, and they could have a CBDC at a more normalized way. You could be running two parallel systems while they taper us off the legacy debt system, and the debt stays in the old bubble. The value of a reset is they get to get rid of liabilities they never intended to serve. So we've done a bit of a deep dive how that happens. You're taking an 8-lane highway and essentially you're putting a boom in front of it and you're letting a certain amount go through and the rest is blocked and big amounts are blocked, and then you have to do various things. And that money ends up being in a parallel universe. And then it gets tapered, left on the vine to wither, withering on the vine. And for people who think that sounds far-fetched, well, you're coming to an end of cycle. A lot of funky stuff that you've never seen before is going to happen. I lived during the apartheid era in South Africa, and we actually had two versions of rand. We had a commercial rand and a financial rand. And they basically, to attract money, gave one rate to people who were investing in the country to make it more attractive, and then punished the citizens. They got just the old rand, and the old rand was withering away. So we all got loss of wealth on account of the devaluation of the currency that once, by the way, was stronger than a dollar, now sitting at 17 and can't pump its electricity. So just so that you think these things don't happen, they absolutely do. And they then retapered them together and brought the two rates and made it one currency again. But that was just a useful exercise. So, you know, things you've never thought possible could happen in terms of various things. And this is not a time to be captured debt because there are a lot of people that are tempted by something's going to break. Surely a bond will give me a return. They're almost 5% now, you know. Well, I'll still point out in terms of your inflation rate, that's negative. They will say, but gold's going down and gold pays no interest, etc. Maybe instead of buying my gold now, I'll go, you know, play in the bond markets. And I use the same analogy. We're at the end of cycle for debt. It could get trapped and you won't be able to move it. And it's going to be part of the old world and left to wither till it's eventually not even 10 cents to the new CBDC dollar, where it initially starts as parity because you can't get access to it. Diminished many ways to skin that cat. So with that happening, if you were trying to play in traffic, it's a bit like being in the Autobahn and running into the fast lane to pick up 5 cent pieces. You're going to get clobbered by a Porsche Turbo at 300 kilometers per hour. The risk just isn't worth the reward anymore for debt in any way since this turning, because the music could stop suddenly. And again, geopolitical events will be the cover story. People don't realize that you had a 20 plus trillion bailout of banks again on their derivative positions, I'm sure, to continue playing without folding. It's all about March 2020 and the medical response to that and the lockdowns. People aren't talking about another bank bailout, and it was far larger than subprime. And in the same way, we will have a cover story, and it could be a war escalation or balloons, UFOs, you know, name your choice. But the key thing is watching the wealth. As custodians of a family wealth, many of the people watching your program, Elijah, are smart and they see themselves as responsible for their children, their wives, etc. There will hopefully be some ladies as well, I'm sure, who are interested in the financial economics of everything and want to make sure they make the right decisions. The right decisions are staying out of digital assets and staying out of debt and holding it physically. And it may not feel right now, but it's the long one. It's the long game.
Now, it seems like if we do see exponentially rising interest rates, that could also have an impact on the housing market. But real estate is often seen as something of real wealth as well, right? It's tangible. So what is your perspective on that? Do you think real estate is still, for those who have maybe the funds to purchase it, still an asset that will survive this crash or transition into a new system?
So going into more reset brain mode here rather than the traditional commodity markets, their expressed goal, my opinion, is to asset strip the general citizenry. And the controlled demolition tool of choice is, in fact, leverage and debt. Because if you spike that interest rate, you can force people out of the assets. Only those cash owners outright will survive a major interest rate spike. If you're looking to shake the tree and get most of the people falling out and tumbling down, the interest rate tool is one of the key tools to do that. And right now, into a slipping economy, you have a belligerent Fed. So the circumstances are pretty well set. Now they will, of course, fail on themselves and they'll pull the tent down on everybody. But that's part of what a reset is, in my opinion. And the difference is you may, as a consumer, be treated differently. In other words, they'll get a holding period or buy of time to make good, or they'll declare a certain force majeure under whatever geopolitical event excuse, but you won't get to do that. So a spike in interest rates, my best advice to everybody is get deleveraged. The controlled demolition of the world economy is in play. And one of the most powerful set explosives on that steel frame beam is interest, in terms of your personal finances, is interest tied debt. And nothing is larger than property. So property could dip substantially, and you could find the likes of BlackRock, Vanguard hoovering up and becoming the landlord of choice, and you end up a tenant in your own home. And that's the great concerns. And these the desire to bring about this society and to make more people reliant on UBI. I've spoken about you know, the central bank's management. Generally, there's no variation across the world. They're all over indebted. It's a leper colony. You know, you have to kiss the leper to join the club. And that means you get the leprosy. And in the same way, when they want to bring about UBI and all of these things and you'll own nothing, these agendas are specifically, how do they get you to voluntarily give your assets up? Well, I'm not voluntarily giving them up, especially homes, and neither would you. So we make them unaffordable. And the bulk of the people have the virus within them that is a debt. And that can be, you can be squeezed really hard, especially if work, employment is simultaneously squeezed and your income choices are taken away. How long could the average American exist? I always see studies on this, and this, of course, applies to people in other parts of the world as well. But for your audience, most people would not see more than a handful of months without income and having to pay spike interest rates. It's a perfect tool, and that is controlled demolition of all assets, and there'll be someone waiting there with a bottomless checkbook to buy it all up at the bottom of the market. And then you'll be offered a tenancy agreement in your own home. That's a fear I have. I hope to be proven wrong, but we've got to play the game for the most vicious possible attack, and gold and elimination of all interest-bearing liabilities that could be enforced on you, where there's any element of variation in the interest rate, and even fixed contracts. Even don't think, I've got $1 million on loan, but it's fixed for 30 years, I'm safe. Well, contracts are pieces of paper and they get reneged on, and banks can declare special terms and they could potentially renege on even contract terms. So just get debt out of your life. I've not had debt in my life. And I know many people think, well, I could have a bigger house and, you know, I could buy twice the house and I could put 50% deposit, or I could own a half the house for cash. Half the house for cash is the smart move right now. This is not the time to be sports cars and living the high life and showing wealth. I think you'll put a target on your back. They're going to weaponize the rest of society and community. They're going to capitalist pigs this and all of that. You could find yourself a minority that's deeply unpopular for showing wealth even, which is criminal, shouldn't be that way. But given enough hardship and enough people, they've shown they can weaponize a mob with the events of March 2020. So play it low profile, get debt out of your life, and own physical.
Sounds like, yeah, they definitely could change the rules at any time. So yeah, playing it safe, I think, is a very good idea there. You know, keeping out of debt and owning real assets. Francis, if people are interested, if they've liked what they've heard today, maybe they didn't like it, but it's been insightful. Where can they find you online?
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. You know, people love optimism and we are optimistic and we're enjoying life every day. I mean, I had an amazing swim on the beach today. I rode my bicycle up and down. Every day is precious. Enjoy it. And we focused on that and we live it and we love it. But you've also got to recognize that in crazy times, crazy things happen. And we specialize in wealth building and preparing, both from a point of view of structures and how you should position as an investor, and even being able to trade certain aspects of this, not necessarily everything, as part of building wealth in an environment where there's going to be a lot of counterparty risk. So pop over to themarketsniper.com if you'd like to book a chat with a seasoned investor trader that has been with us for a while, or just pop over to the YouTube and, you know, listen for a bit and see if you like what we're all about.
Fantastic. Links to all those in the description of this video. Thank you once again, Francis, for all your insights today and this great conversation. Thank you, and God bless.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Miles Franklin Precious Metals is one of America's oldest and most trusted bullion dealers. Miles Franklin is A-plus rated and accredited by the Better Business Bureau, licensed and bonded, and has zero complaints ever registered. Here at Liberty and Finance, we are licensed brokers with Miles Franklin. To order, simply call us, discuss your needs, and we can let you know our live inventory, prices, and availability, and lock in your order over the phone. Once your order is locked, the price is held for you regardless of market fluctuations, and the metals are reserved for you awaiting your settled payment. Within one business day of ordering, you will receive an email invoice detailing the order and payment instructions. Miles Franklin accepts payments by bank wire, ACH or electronic check, money order, check mailed priority mail, and cryptocurrency. The fastest forms of payment are bank wire and cryptocurrency. Upon settled payment, metals will ship out within 3 to 5 business days.
you will receive tracking information via email. Domestic shipping charges are $15 for any order under 500 ounces of silver or 10 ounces of gold. For orders larger than that, domestic shipping is free. The package will be boxed, fully insured, and labeled discreetly, with no indication of the contents inside. For your privacy, the name Miles Franklin will not even be on the package. To talk to myself, Kaiser, my brother Elijah, or my father Dunnigan, call 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237.